And we are live.
Hooray!
Yes.
D d d d d d d. What's that song? I can't remember. Anyway.
Okay. So today we are going to talk a little bit about connections and relationships. Okay. So it's part
Ooh.
of life. Yes. Okay. Different connections, different relationships. It can be the people around us, friends, family, the community, other kind of connections, like a connection to nature or maybe a connection to food as well. Animals, it also counts. Okay. So connections is very important because it shapes our happiness, it gives us support. It also creates meaningful bonds and it makes life richer, easier, and more fulfilling every day. So, my first question I'm going to ask is, who is one person you feel most connected to and why?
Ladies first, Sarah.
I can say that I had many persons, but all of them, so it's not continuous, so I will not consider them, but I will choose my mom because in different time and different age we still connect. I still connect with her, and if I'm like I'm sad or happy, I have something to share, I always go to her and tell her, even if I don't want to talk like some like unhappy, could say unhappy news or something, but I feel like that I have this connection that forced me to tell her everything.
Okay, why do you feel that you are forced to tell her everything?
So no, it's I don't know. I like to talk to her. So when I grow up, I decide something that not to share anything that's like bad to me, or I feel sad about it, because it's even if we forget it, they all not forget it. So she will keep always think about it, and she worries about it. So I took this decision, like took this decision like 3 years ago. I tried to filter a lot of things, but I still tell also a lot of other things. Yes, I can
Okay.
say like maybe because if you have a best friend, so you always telling best friends everything without that we thinking about. After we like telling everything like in the night, we think, oh, why I'm sharing this thing, but it's happened in the end.
Okay. Okay. I think maybe it's because we feel comfortable.
Yes, and
Comfortable
they are not
to
judging.
share. Yes. Okay. Okay, so Frank, who is the one person that you feel the most connected to, and tell me why?
I'm going to break the mold here.
Okay.
It's three people, me, myself, and I.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there's a very specific reason for that. Not that I'm happy about it, but it's the way it's been for most of my life.
Okay.
I'm an only child. And in my childhood, we lived in a neighborhood where there weren't many other kids my age bracket in the neighborhood. I went to school quite a distance away because the catchment area was the entire city, not just a district. And at a very early age, I learned to depend on myself and find solutions to problems by myself. And that has come and sort of been a thread through my entire life. And I was in a relationship once where one of the questions that defined this relationship, which is why I didn't last, was, do you need somebody or do you want to be with somebody? Yeah, and to this day, I cannot answer this question because I am very focused on my own independence. Because that's the way, that's my DNA. Yeah. So I'm connected to myself. It doesn't mean I don't like people. I love people. I love talking with people. I like being with people. But there is a certain barrier. Some people can break this barrier very quickly, others never. Because I've been, okay, I'm a couple of years older than you two. I've been disappointed. I've been burnt. I've hit the ground hard a few times. And you have to have the inner strength and resilience to rebuild and go from there. Yeah. So, I would say, my mother lives with us in this house. It's not easy. We are two generations, two nationalities living in a third nationalities. It's, the potential for conflict is rife and it is there. I have a dual role. I have to be a husband and a son at the same time. These roles are not mutually compatible. And this sort of trains, this sort of threads all my through my entire existence. And there's only one way you can survive, and that's to be self-sufficient and self-dependent and look after your own skin. And if everything else around you collapses, well, so be it. Life continues, and I've been there a few times as well. Yeah. So not a pretty answer, but that's the reality of it.
Oh, it's true. Okay. So I think I feel the most connected to my husband. We share a lot of things. We talk about a lot of things. We also fight about a lot of things. But I think that happens in all relationships. And then when I lived with my parents, I also feel the mo or I felt the most connected to my mom. I used to tell her everything, share everything with her, not really with my friends, not because I don't trust them, but some things they just don't have to know. So
Yeah.
it was my mom. Before that, it was my sister before she moved out. We used to spend a lot of time together and talk about a lot of things. But now it's my husband. We see each other every day. We talk to each other every day. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes it comes naturally, but I think that is who I would choose.
Well, I would be disappointed if it were anything else, because you enter this bond. You it doesn't matter in which constellation it happens, but you make a contract almost before God. Yeah, you say these vows. Now, reality plays a different scenario.
Yes.
Yeah, but one's marital partner should be, in the first instance, the first go-to connection. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So these connections and relationships are a big part of what makes our life meaningful and joyful. Even if we depend on ourselves, we
Yeah,
still
see?
have yes. We still have people around us who we love and care and share thoughts and ideas and plans. And humans are social beings. We are social creatures. We are not made or meant to be alone. We need people in our lives. And these relationships bring support and love and understanding. As I also mentioned, sometimes fighting, but it makes the connection stronger. And when we have a strong connection with someone, it also helps to improve our happiness and our health, and it makes us stronger. So if someone is having a bad day, and I'm just thinking about today, but anyways, if someone is having a bad day, or you want to talk to someone, maybe share your feelings, share your thoughts, and you come out of that feeling understood or comfortable, also happy, a little less stressed. And these things are also important. So why do some relationships feel stronger than others? Relationships or friendships, why do some of them feel stronger than others?
I believe that good relationship, that people should not be like similar exactly to each other. If it is so, it will be harder actually to stay longer. And the most thing, important thing about like relationship, if I'm like with a friend or a relationship, any kind of relationship, that you need to feel like there's someone on your back, helping you and support you anytime. And also give you other advices, but in the good time. So you don't want to hear all the time and advices, but you need also to feel like, even if you are wrong, you have someone support you. That this is for me the most important thing. And also not judging. I can't live with someone judge everything that I did, and or feel shame about things that I did or I do.
Okay. Frank, what do you think? Why do some relationships feel stronger than others?
I think there's actually a component in a relationship which is almost impossible to explain, because it's sort of this fuzzy, gooey, messy thing where you just naturally feel comfortable that certain people will confide certain things to each other which they may or may not confide with other people. And I think it depends on the nature of the relationship. So a husband wife will always confide much more to each other normally, because they have this very, very intimate connection. I mean, there are technically no secrets between the two of them. But then also, I also believe, because this is something that I have sort of found in my life, that like-minded people will generally find each other. And there may be huge differences, but there are certain similarities where they go, I can relate to this person. And with this increased feeling of relating comes trust, because that is at the foundation of any relationship. You can love a person, you can you can like a person, you can trust a person, but if the respect for that person goes, then the relationship is doomed. And I think that is at the core of everything. You may disagree, you may agree, you may have the whole feeling of emotions the whole spectrum that comes with relationships. But if you cannot respect that person, then you just have to walk away, because it's never, ever going to be constructed. And
yes.
I think that's, you know, there you will have people who are diametrically opposed in just about everything. And as a German national, looking at Germany's history, Germany has had some pretty brutal periods, militarily speaking. And there was one case in point where there was a German general who was stationed in North Africa. His name was Rommel, General Rommel, Rommel. And he was respected by his opponents because he played by the rules, he played by the book. He had to, of course, do what his government instructed him to, and to a certain degree, he probably believed in it, or he may not have necessarily agreed with it, but because he played fairly, he was respected by his adversaries, which didn't mean that if it came to crunch, they would have to do what, so the British or the Americans would have to do what they had to do, because that is in nature of the conflict. Yeah. But it's respect that if you go away from that respect, then forget it, just walk away, because you're never going to replace it.
Yes. Okay. So I was thinking about some friendships. So not really my husband and my parents, but friendships with a few friends. So there's one, the friend who does my nails. We've known each other for many years. We basically grew up together. We went to primary school together. Even though she had her own friends, I had different friends in primary school and high school. But after high school, we spend more time together. We would go out on a Friday night, or we would have a barbecue at a friend's house. And 21st birthdays, she was at my birthday party, I was at her birthday party. So we did spend a lot of time together. And then we grew apart for some time. In that time, she got married, I got married, she had kids. But we kind of found each other again after some time. But it's just that life just got too busy at some point, and we kind of lost a little bit of contact with each other. But we still have the trust and the respect and the understanding that we had from years ago. And then there's other friends of mine. I think time also plays a big difference, or plays a big role in the how strong a relationship is. How much time you spend together, or how much time you spend talking to each other. because the other friend that I have, she had a son last year, so he's 1 year and a couple of months now. But she became very busy because she has her own business, and now she has a son to look after. And she never understood when I said, listen, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I have to take my son to the doctor, or I have to fetch my son from school, or I have to do this or that. Or, but now she's starting to understand that time, you don't always have the time that you wish you had. No. So apart from, so I agree that trust and respect and communication, that is all very important. But I think it also depends on the amount of time that you spend with people, with friends or even family, how much time you spend with family members.
Yes and no. So, so let me challenge you on that a little bit.
Okay.
So as you know, Janita, it was my late father. It would have been my late father's 91st birthday
yes,
on Monday. And he died 6 years ago. And to this day, my mother still has not accepted his death. Rationally, yes, she has, but emotionally, she hasn't. Because she said to me afterwards, when he passed away, he said, who will I talk to now? Because their marriage was a bedrock of talking. They would spend Sunday mornings at their breakfast table talking for hours. It got to a point where I just couldn't cope anymore. I mean, I wasn't part of it, but I know my father. I knew my father. So that's the one aspect. If anybody says to me, they are too busy or they have no time, it gets my back up. Because everybody has exactly the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours a day. It's a question of priorities.
Priorities, and also how you spend your time. What do you
Exactly.
do?
Exactly. Yeah. People will always find time. If they are really, really good friends or close, they will always find the time for a brief cup of coffee, cup of tea, 10 minutes, because you can say a lot in 10 minutes. Yeah. And if they say, look, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I'm doing this, that, and the other, then you have to question to a certain degree, not fully, because there are, of course, realistic situations, but you have to say, well, am I really that person's priority, or is that person my priority? Because if we really value a relationship or a friendship, it doesn't matter at what level. It could be an intimate relationship, it could be a superficial friendship, but there are people in my circle where I will specifically say, oh, you're here, I will make the time, and we'll sit down, we'll have a chat, we'll catch up, and then we move on and we stay in contact. Yeah. So it's a question of priorities and talking. If a relationship is, if two people in a relationship are unable to talk, there's an issue. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, some time ago, I sent you some videos about that CEO from the one company who took his girlfriend to the Coldplay concert instead of his wife. So,
Yes.
Sarah, you also know about it.
I think half the planet knows
I
about
think
it.
everybody knows.
It's like global knowing.
Yes. So there was a joke going around to say that nobody is too busy, because this man was a CEO of the company. He had a wife, he had kids, and he still managed to book Coldplay tickets for his girlfriend. So nobody's too busy.
Well, I mean, that whole thing just opens an entire can of worms. I don't think we need to go down that particular path. But I think you also have to accept, and I speak from experience here, you have to accept the cold, brutal reality that relationships cannot sometimes last. Especially in this day and age, where, I mean, if you look at it, when I was a kid, none of this, what we live in today, existed. And there is a case in point. There is one person in breeder, Ritesh, who lives in India, and he is 29 years old. I am 64 years old. I have an enormous amount of respect for Ritesh, because he sees his life and his values are surprisingly old-fashioned. And he's a millennial. I'm a baby boomer. Yeah. We have completely different paths, different values, different ways of thinking. And it's just amazing, these conversations. But you have to, and he's married. He got married in February. That's what I was trying to say. He got married in February, and it was a semi-arranged marriage. And we talked at length about it, and I've come out of the conclusion to the conclusion that maybe that wasn't a bad thing. Yeah, because that marriage will have a stronger chance of survival, especially in this day and age when things are so different, and the person you are at 29, there will be so much happening that by the time that person is 60, he will have changed. And there was one German politician who said maybe we should have contracts where you get married for a specific period of time, and after 7 years, you evaluate this and ask yourself, does this still hold? Is this marriage still on a firm foundation? And if not, then why not simply accept the nature of the development, and that two people will develop? They will develop separately, and maybe these developments no longer are in harmony. And maybe for the sake of the friendship, it might be better to separate in friendship and on good terms than to separate in bombs and bloody scenarios, etc.
Yes.
Where do you draw the line? It's such a messy scenario, and of course I'm probably contradicting myself now with the respect, etc. But maybe if you respect this person and respect the changes that your partner is going through, then you can work out the differences. Relationships and friendships are hugely, hugely complex, and I don't think even psychologists will understand them. They'll just guess yes. their way through. Yeah.
Yes. And
charge you a fortune. Yeah.
Yes. So there's also an interesting article that I read, it was a long time ago, but where they also explained how people change. I think it was about every 10 years that people change. Your personality changes, maybe your likes and dislikes changes. And in this article, they also, I think it was a man who wrote the article. And then he also explained that you just have to accept your wife's changes because she's not going to... I think that's why I read it. But she's obviously not going to be the same person you met 10 years ago or 20 years ago because of these changes. And not just personality-wise, but also, well, everything, hormones, looks, hair, nails, everything changes. Same with clothes. What you used to wear, if I think what I used to wear 10 years ago and what I wear now, there's a big difference. Even 20 years ago. because your likes and dislikes also changes. The type of clothes that you like, the type of clothes that you can buy. That's a shocking experience for me because I went to the mall with my husband 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I think it was 3 weeks ago. But I was just looking for some comfortable shirts. And we went to all the clothing stores, and eventually we went to Woolies. And there I found two t-shirts. They were nice and comfortable, and they were the right length. They were long enough to sit where I want them to fit. But the other places all had these baby t-shirts, these small little t-shirts. The crop tops, yes. So even John was looking, or my husband was looking at them, and he was like, why are they so short? Because, so that's my problem.
Because, my dear, you are getting old, yeah. And this is part and parcel of it. There is so much peer pressure.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got news for you. Yeah. I'm a couple of steps ahead of you. Yeah.
Yes.
At some point, it just doesn't matter anymore.
Well, it matters enough not to wear a crop top.
At your stage in life, yes, yeah. Yes. When you sort of reach my dizzy heights, then you look at it from a different angle. Say, well, it's solid. Yeah. Why do I need to go shopping anyway? Maybe I need to replace some clothing. Yeah. But you will find there are ways and means around that. Yeah.
Yes. So there's other things that I'm comfortable with, like sleeveless tops. That's okay. But the short ones, the crop tops, I hate them. But anyways, that's also part. But if I think about, let's say, 20 years ago, I might have worn them. Then it would have been fine.
Well, your priorities were different, and you know, you may or may not have been in a relationship, and maybe you're somebody you're trying to present yourself in a certain. I mean, there's a couple of people you and I know on Instagram, and I look at their Instagram post, and I'm thinking, you know, what are they trying to tell me? You know, I'm this beautiful young single woman and I'm desperately looking for a partner. Yeah. Is
yes.
that the way it goes nowadays? You know, okay, well, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, societies change, attitudes change,
yes.
Communication methods change, technology
yes.
changes, and that all plays a role in it. And I can really, really, to both of you, I can't really stress this strongly enough. The conversation I had last Saturday with Ritesh about future legacy and what he at 29 thinks he will leave behind for his successors. The fear and the uncertainty that governs your generation, I don't think you're really aware of it, because it drives you to the core, and it makes you make decisions which you may or may not regret afterwards, not because they are rational, but because they are emotional, because they are fear-based,
yes.
because there's so much uncertainty nowadays.
Yes.
And the question is, how can you have a loving, caring, stable, respectful relationship, and it, you know, it can be with your partner, it can be with friends, if just everything around you just goes up in smoke every so often. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Frightening. It is really, really frightening. Sorry. I'm actually in a good mood, Sarah.
Okay.
But I was also thinking about, so there's a lot of South Africans that Donald Trump invited or took to America. And there was a lot of, also a lot of discussions about that. Like, why do you flee your country? And they said these people are running away from South Africa. And then today we actually saw something where they said that America is one of the top five most dangerous places in the world at the moment, with all of the gun fights and the knives and all of those things happening there. And that is exactly, my husband and I also had this conversation, like, why do you want to pack up here, go to a place that you don't know, and then it ends up, according to news and journalists, to be a bit worse than where you came from.
Yeah, is the grass greener on the other side? No, it's not.
Not always.
Never.
Not always.
No.
Never. Yeah, so that was quite interesting to see. Okay. So, building relationships, we have a foundation. There's a lot of things that go on top of this foundation. Trust, respect, communication, to listen, to share, to support each other, and a whole bunch of other things. Okay. Time, spending time together, putting in the effort, solving conflicts, and also trying to understand each other. So I'm going to ask one last serious question before we do the fun ones. How does listening carefully strengthen a relationship? Ooh. How does listening carefully strengthen a relationship?
I believe it's like the foundation of any good health relationship, actually. And if I'm talking to someone, anyone, and he's not listening in any way or looking to his phone or not give me the attention that I want, I will not actually continue. And I will maybe sometimes I like there's a, like a blacklist for people that I will not sharing a serious things with them. So he will be joining this list. So it's important to listen, to understand, also not interrupt, to show also about, so the emotion that need, and it's actually even sometimes if we can't help to solve the problem, just to listen to this person, it's kind of very important support.
Why are you shaking your head?
We've only got about a third of the question worth looking at. So, I think it's fairly safe to say that my marriage is quite tumultuous. And I often get accused for two accused of two things. I never listen, and I don't understand. Now you can boil this down to the cliches between men and women that, you know, what's the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, etc., etc. There's all these cliches. Fact is that the fact is that men and women are wired differently. And that already makes it very, very difficult because we just think differently. And yes, we have been trained to be more aligned with each other through centuries of upbringing and so on, but at the core, we are still very, very different. So you've got to listen, but you've also got to understand. And in most of my professional work, people will, and I preach this a lot, people will not understand each other if they do not make the concerted effort to cross the discussion line and look at it from the opposing view. Where are they coming from? What is the context? Why do they think? And people who work with me, who know me well, will always hear me say, if you want me to listen, if you want me to understand, then you have to allow me to ask questions. Because if I ask questions and if I know how to ask questions, then I will understand. I may not agree, and I don't have to agree, but I will understand. So the core of it, and listening is a very passive thing. You say, you know, active listening. I mean, the books are full of how do you listen effectively? How do you listen, blah, blah. And 10, go to LinkedIn, 10 simple steps on listening effectively, and you will win God knows what. Yeah, the world will be your oyster. Excuse me, that is all absolute rubbish. You have to ask questions. And then you have to appreciate the answers. You have to put the answers in their context. And then you can start listening. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. And I know what I'm talking about because my wife constantly tells me after 20 years married. I don't understand her, which is true. And I don't know if that's the real, you know, if that's really that important. Yeah. And secondly, I don't listen. Yeah. And even if I ask questions in attempting to listen, have I asked the right questions? You just don't
probably
know.
Not.
Probably not. No, probably not. Yeah. And that brings it back to where we talked, where we were earlier, talking, communicating, and it's a yes. minefield. Yeah.
Yes.
And I guarantee you, you will tread on mines and you will lose something.
Yes.
And the question is, how do you get out of that? Is there enough strength to be able to, okay, so I'm in pain, I hurt, I'm crying, I'm, you know, I don't like you at this moment. In fact, I really, really hate you. Please leave the room. I cannot see the sight of you. And then you try to figure it all out again and you rebuild yes. yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
So listening is only a third of the equation. Yeah.
Yes. But I think, yeah, I agree with the understanding because if you know someone well, if I think about my husband, in the mornings I can look at him and then I see he's in a bad mood. I already know it. Oh, no, today's going to be a good day. He's in a good mood. And he can probably do the same with me. He can look at me and then he's, okay, let's just let her be. And that's part of the understanding. Like if he asks something and I get upset about it or something happens and I get upset or angry or then if he doesn't understand, maybe he's going to be upset or maybe he's going to get agitated. But so to understand each other and to understand each other's emotions when you talk or when you say, I don't feel like having this today or I don't want to do this today. I don't want to cook. I don't want to clean. I don't want to do the laundry. If you understand each other, then he would say, okay, but I will do that today because I know you're not feeling well or I know you are not having a good day. So to listen carefully, but also pay attention to the surroundings.
And you hit the nail on the head. Pay attention, yes. To observe, yes. To think.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is so, so important. Yeah.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the person is or in what relationship you are. As soon as you deal with a person more than just a casual hello, how are you? You are in yes. a relationship with that person.
Yes.
And there are different levels of relationships. And yes. then you have to start observing that person. Because if you respect that person, then, and if you value that relationship, then you will automatically, in my opinion anyway, you should start observing that person because the relationship is of very, you know, of extreme importance. You do not want to jeopardize this relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you start thinking, okay, so this and this happened. And over time, a picture emerges. And then you can understand why certain things happen when they do. And then you can put it into some sort of category. And then you can start understanding that person. And then you can start listening. And then you can start communicating because basically you have invested time and energy in yes. dealing with this relationship and not sitting in front of a TV passively consuming something just to kill the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Or scrolling on social media or something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned.
No, but I agree with you.
You don't have to.
No, but I do. Relationships are very important. And I feel that it is also very important to It's actually a conversation that my husband and I had a couple of weeks ago, that we don't make enough time to actually sit down and talk to each other because he has a very busy schedule. I have a busy schedule. In between, it's running
Crazy.
the household and taking care of Aiden and cooking dinner. And we don't have, when we met each other, we would wait until, or later, after or before going to bed, we would have some a cup of tea together, and we would just talk, sit on the kitchen counter, both of us sit on the kitchen counter and have a cup of tea and have a conversation. But we don't do that anymore. We don't have that time. We don't put the time aside to actually do that. So now we started.
I mean, all I can say is, again, from my own parents, so this is the 60s and the 70s. This is Australia, sort of on the other end of the planet.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of societal differences as well. So,
Yes.
when we lived in Adelaide, my mother and my father worked for the same company in the same office, and at the beginning, the office was at home. So the conversation was basically about those two at the dinner table. So first of all,
Yes.
we always had dinner together. That was an unwritten rule.
Yes.
Nothing would waver that.
Yes.
At dinner table, two things, there were basically two strands of conversation. Either about work or it was about my day at school. And
I remember you
I hated
told
me
me.
talking about the day at school because it sounded like an inquisition.
Yes.
My father got a different job in the same organization. We moved from Adelaide to Sydney. Things changed. My mother did not work. So she was a homemaker. And I kid you not, my father would leave home in the morning, drive to work. And I went to school, and I usually got back from school before him from work. And my mother, before he came, would get changed into something a little bit nicer. And then they would sit down and have a drink, and she would listen to him talking about everything that happened in the office, which she could relate to because she knew the organization, she knew the
Yes.
people, so she could relate to it. And then we would eat dinner together, and I would get grilled, and then I did my stuff and they did their stuff, and then I went to bed and so on and so forth. And that never changed.
Yes.
And they consciously sat down and talked about the banalities of their daily life, which does not interest anybody anywhere else on this planet, but it was their little bubble, and they cultivated it.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the reasons why their marriage lasted almost 60 years with all the
Yes.
upheaval that was in our lives. I've lost my thread, but all I can say, in respect to your situation, it is too easy these days to consume modern life. And I use the word consume.
Yes.
You switch on the TV, you switch on the radio, you're busy doing this, you're busy. None of that is important. The world will continue spinning.
Yes.
And if people sit on the kitchen counter and just talk with each other about the banalities of their day, which doesn't interest anybody else, but it's
Yes.
what makes their day, then you're moving a step in the right direction.
Yes.
And we have this in France. We call it apéro, where you sit down, have a drink, and just sort of socialize, talk with friends or with your family or something like that.
Yes.
And you enter the evening in a much more calm state, and you will find that over time, the more you talk, the more fascinating these things become.
Yes.
And you think, you know, why are we watching television? Why are we doing this? Why don't we just go out and do something or do that or explore this? Because, hey, this was a great conversation. Yeah. And that's what cements the whole relationship. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, don't do as I preach. Because I'm just as bad a culprit as anybody else. Yeah. And there's other issues as well, but yeah, talk. Talk.
Yes.
Talk, 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 talk. Ask
Yes.
ask questions. Train the other person to ask questions. You never listen to me. Well, what should I say? Well, maybe if you ask, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Be curious, yes. Be intense. I mean, you know, you know. And again, coming back to relationships and the level of trust. So Sarah, just to put you into the picture here. So every Tuesday morning, I have a sort of a more or less formal meeting just to figure out where we want to go and what we want to do, and sort of just basically talk about everything that involves Breeder. And, you know, I've sort of reached this level of comfort in this relationship. And we have a relationship, but it's a different type of relationship. But I have reached this comfort in the relationship where I'm just going to be myself. And if I have spent 3 days processing something, and it's just going to be this pile of unprocessed thinking on the agenda, then that is what it is. Yeah, because there is this trust and the respect that it stays within the two of us, and it's part of the working process. Yeah.
Yes.
And something will come out of it somehow, somewhere, or not come out of it. Yeah. Yeah. But again, that's also this level of trust and relationship, and you know that you feel comfortable saying certain things to, you know, in a professional capacity.
Yes.
And with a bit of personal, you know, kindness or feelings thrown into it, because that's what relationships are. But you know, you just say, okay, well, this is me, lump it or like it. Yeah. And if you respect the person, then you'll take it on board, say, okay, you know, yeah, Frank was off. You know, I could probably imagine, so how was your meeting? And you know, Yanit would say, oh, don't ask. He was just totally off the planet again. But okay, well, that's the way it is. Yeah.
Yes. It happens from time to time.
More often than not. And here we are. We've got one high profile client talking to him about meetings. Yeah, we just about break every rule in the book and contradict ourselves to the hilt. Yeah. Because and I know something that you don't know yet, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but Friday we're going to have to be fit. Yeah, because
thanks for the tip.
Open your Breeder email and you'll see what's coming.
Okay. I'll check it. Okay.
Anyway.
So let's do a few fun questions before
Hooray.
We end. Okay. The first question, I want you to choose a person close to you, your best friend, your wife, your mom, your husband, children, anyone. Brother, sister, for Sarah.
We're running out of people here.
You can choose someone from Breeder if you like.
Oh, okay. Says a lot, doesn't it?
maybe someone you like to talk to. Maybe your neighbor, whoever. But if this person was a color, what color would they be and why? So the original question says, if your best friend was a color, what color would they be? But you can choose any person close to you.
I will choose actually my best friend. I think she will be gray.
Grey? Why grey?
Yes. So she will support me whatever that I did. So I can't see her personally in her advice. So whatever that I did or I want, she will support me easily. So that's why it's great. Like I can't see her own like personality or her own opinion about that. No, she all think about how can I support you? So she will be great.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Can I avoid answering this question?
No.
Okay. Sara says no, I said it's okay.
Can you repeat the question?
So if your best friend was a color, what color would they be? But I also said that you can choose anyone else.
I cannot answer that. I
We can talk
cannot.
about Monica. Let's use Monica. What color would she be?
I changed the ringtone of my phone specifically for Monica. I can't narrow it down to a color. I'd have to go for the rainbow. I'd have to go for everything because
I agree.
different people have different roles.
Yes.
And I cannot narrow it down. I cannot, yeah. No, it's impossible for me to do this because I will talk to you about certain things that I will talk to nobody else. And
Yes.
conversely, there are things that I will talk with other people specifically only on that with that person.
Yes.
I would have to say I would find it almost no disrespect to you, Sarah, but I would almost find it troubling if you pour the entire humanity of a relationship onto one person
Okay.
because it's just way too much to, I mean, there was one person I knew. She said, a woman needs seven different men just
Oh,
to cope, and she listed them. I've forgotten apart from the obvious ones, I've forgotten what the seven characteristics were, but you have one person for the intellectual, one person for the physical, one person for the emotional, and God knows what the other four were. Yeah.
yes.
But I think that she was saying that, if, maybe she was quite a force to be reckoned with. But she said, I need seven different men for these different aspects in my life, which is why the whole thing blew apart very, very quickly. Yeah. Because
Yes.
I was just one seventh of the entire relationship, and I thought, well, this is not good enough.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm going to pass. I can't answer that question.
Okay.
What about you? What about you? Come on. I'm very curious here.
So I would choose one of my friends, and if she was a color, I would say that she's like a lavender color, like a light purple color. This is her favorite color, but she's also very calm and collected. So it has the same effect that lavender has on us. Keeps us calm. I think because it's her favorite color and it suits her personality in a way. The other friend, her favorite color is like an emerald green, very dark green. But I don't know how to. They say if you want to sleep better, you have to change your room into green, make everything green. Keeps you calm as well. So maybe.
Okay.
But the friend who likes green likes to gossip and she likes to talk about other people. I don't like that very much. And I also don't like green too much. But she does have other good qualities.
Which is why she's still your friend. You see, you agree to disagree, yeah?
Yes. Okay, the next one. Think about the people who live with you in your house. So Sarah, you with your brothers and sisters and mom and dad. Frank, you with your wife and your mom. Me with my husband and my son. If these family members were a team of superheroes, what powers would each of you have?
Oh.
You've got a big family, haven't you, Sarah?
Yes, but
You
yeah, none
can
of them will be
you
what I only my mom maybe.
Okay.
She's the and no, also my dad, but I don't know which superhero, but he can't fix things, really.
Okay.
Anything. I can't give him any broken things or things not working, and he give a life for these things. I don't know how. So he has this skill. He can do things, and I feel like he's an expert in a lot of things, especially cars. Or
Okay.
maybe I have lack of experience. That's why. But now I feel he's genius, doing things with hands, especially. So not electric things. As I can say my mom, because she can do multiple things also. I can't remember how she works and also raise us, has a five kids and study all these things. And now also she keep doing all these things also, but now teaching. So she's a superhero. I can't do half the things that she did.
Okay. And yourself?
I don't know. Maybe I need someone to tell me. But I don't think so. I'm a no.
Okay. Don't you want to be a superhero?
I have something I can admit about it that I can solve problems, but after I think about it very careful and try to analyze this problem. So they actually always came to me to like doing provide solutions or solve things.
Okay. Yeah. Frank, what would your team of superheroes
I think you're going to have to help me on this one because I'm not really up to date on modern day superheroes or ancient superheroes or any superheroes for that matter.
look
So,
like?
but there's two people living in this house. So first of all, my wife, who will be 61 this year, this month, with an incredible attention to detail, and who will fight her corner to the very end, no matter what. So you pick a superhero there. Once she's got, something in between her teeth, you just have to walk away.
I'm kind of aiming at Captain Marvel.
Who I do not know.
I know. So she's almost like the female version of Superman.
That
But
would be
I
wonderful.
think
That
she
would
can
be
do some
Wonder
other
Woman.
things.
Yeah.
But Captain Marvel, yes. So Superman and Wonder Woman is DC characters, and then Marvel has also their own.
Okay, so I mean, and an argument can rumble on for months on end because there will. I suppose if you would take not as a superhero but as a fictional character, Agatha Christie's Miss Marple, because you walk through life treating it as a criminal case, and there's got to be a clue there somewhere, and you are going to find it no matter what.
Okay.
The opposing scenario is, of course, my mother, who lives in this house as well, who at 88 is fitter than me. And she has the experience of 88 years of life around the world. But also the attitude, well, pff, I don't really care anymore. So there are certain
Yes.
things that I have to do for her. Added to which, of course, at that age, there is memory loss and so on and so forth, the typical signs,
Yes.
where you have a conversation and she will ask you the same question three times. Completely unaware that she's asked it twice already. And especially because she doesn't speak French, but we live in France, she is, of course, subject to French laws and regulations, and I have to do her income tax return, and she just pushes it away and says, it's too complicated. I don't understand. I do not want to deal with it.
Yes.
And the problem should go away by itself. Well, with certain authorities, it just doesn't work that way. You have to.
Yes.
You have to deal with that, yeah. But resilience, I think, is the trademark of that generation, especially Europeans who she grew up, she was born in 1934. So she experienced Europe during the Second World War, albeit as a child, and the post-war years, and then living in the 60s and 70s and 80s, living abroad, and then coming back to Germany, having this incredible worldview. It now getting all muddled with the memories are beginning to get a little bit confused, etc. And you sort of think,
Yes.
and I think the interesting exercise in that one is you know what to expect.
Yes.
And you try and prepare yourself for it because, parents, I know how my father died. I know how he felt about it. And I know my mother, and you learn, you observe these people, you think, okay, so what can I do now to try and avoid this? Because
Yes.
at some point, it's going to come.
Yes.
And when you're 64, 88 is not that far away.
Yes.
It's just around the corner. Yeah. So that's an interesting experience as well. So
Yes.
resilience and a teacher, which parents always are. And look, I'm 64. I have this dual conflicting role of being a husband and a son at the same time. You will always be a child. No matter how old you are, until you have no parents left on this planet. And then you are
Yes.
truly independent because instinctively you can always go to your parent and say, "Can you give me some advice?" It
Yes.
may not be couched in that particular language, but indirectly it comes out.
Yes.
Yeah. Or parents have this uncanny ability to see straight through you.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can hide it as best as it's possible. You can create the biggest firewall around it. And
I can hide it
they
from my mom, but my dad can see right through me.
exactly. And then your dad will speak to your mother, and then she will, oh, really? I didn't know that. And then she will hit right where it hurts. I know that. I've been there. Yeah.
Yes.
And it doesn't change. So you are always a child until your parents are no longer there.
Yes.
And then you are truly independent and free. But by that time, you're so old and decrepit anyway that it doesn't any matter.
Yes. Okay. And would you choose a superhero for yourself?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
That's actually something I would let you do. You're the one person I would trust to say you probably get it right at this stage. I would say you don't say it here, but at some point, tell me what superhero you would attribute to this chaotic, weird of a person that you're working with.
I'm going to go with Doctor Strange. So Doctor Strange can manipulate time. He can move into different time, maybe to the past or to the future or to a different. He can even change, go to a, travel to a whole different universe. And he's also wise. He knows how to work with it. He knows what to do with it. Where other people, if they had this ability, they would just mess everything up. So I would go with Doctor Strange.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes. Yes. The name doesn't sound too nice, but it's a compliment. So I'm going to end with my family. My husband will definitely be Batman because he likes Batman. So even though Batman doesn't have his own abilities, but he has a lot of money and fancy toys. Yes. So he would definitely be Batman. Probably hurt his back while trying to fly as well. Then my son would be the Flash. He likes the Flash. And that's where I have a problem because the Flash is also my favorite superhero. But I didn't teach my son about the Flash. He learned that all on his own. He didn't even know that I knew the Flash or that I also liked him. He wants to run very fast. He also wants to save people from burning buildings. So that will be very fitting. And then I will choose something like teleportation. to jump from one place to another.
Interesting. At the risk of sounding extremely cheesy, but I'm going to return the compliment. I think you are your own superhero.
Well, thank you.
You're in a league on your own, so incomparable. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so on that note, I think something that we can take away from today's session is that relationships take work. Relationships and connection needs a lot of work and trust, respect, communication, time, effort, questions. We have to ask a lot of questions. We have to invest our time. We have to invest care. And all of these things will definitely strengthen the relationships or the connections, build stronger friendships. Yeah. So, Sarah, I'm going to give you the last word today.
Wow. I was gonna say. Uh, So it was nice topic, actually. I like it. I enjoy it, and I hope that all of you enjoy it, especially with all this wisdom advices that we heard from Frank, that he's showing us that we have a lot in life until we get be wise like him. And thank you for all your time today. And see you soon next week.
I look
Yes.
forward to it.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you, Janita. It was a brilliant, brilliant
Thank you.
meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Frank. So
Speak to you
that's it
soon.
for today. Speak to you soon. Enjoy the rest
Okay.
of your evening. Take care.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.